Knowing Shola, the power of the song wasn't in the words, it's in the testimony of her life, that she wants to know him more. And what a privilege we have to walk alongside her and Osaro and the family, knowing that he's brought them through some very difficult times. And they hold on to the Lord, wanting to know more of him and find the grace that is available. And what a privilege it is to know the Lord, and to know that he goes with you, and to know that he is over all authority. He is over every ruler. He is over every boss. He is over every legislator. He is in control, and he invites us to walk with him. He invites us to rest in him as he moves us forward. And I feel particularly challenged this morning, knowing that Mark here on the second row is going to evaluate me on whether it's a sermon or a message. I hope I get it right. I hope you get the message and not the sermon. But I will tell you, I got 12 pages of notes in a booklet this morning. Never had that many before. So be worried. Be very worried. And at the end of the day is, without Christ, we should all be worried. Because he's faithful. The title of the sermon is The Unfortunate Reality of God's Faithfulness, and this is from a human perspective. Right? It's called judgment. It's real. God has given his word, and we hold on to the promises, and God has said, and I know it's going to happen because God has said, and I can't wait for it to happen. God's also said that judgment's coming. Disobedience will be exposed and it will be dealt with. And we must have a balanced view of God because it encourages us on in faithfulness. As Jim read this morning from 2 Peter chapter 3, right? Since these things are thus to be dissolved, because judgment's coming, because things will be held in account, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? This balanced view of God continues to put fuel in our tank for godliness and for holiness and for the pursuit of righteousness. It puts gas in the tank to be involved in evangelism and missions. Because there's people that need to hear. There's a message that needs to be told. There's light that needs to go into the darkness. So that Jesus Christ will be seen for who he is. Lord of all. I'll put this balance before you through the lyrics of two songs here. This first song was, as far as I know, introduced to me from Dr. Ralph Richardson as we participated in a funeral some 13, 14 years ago. And he read these words from this song. Don Wurtson penned these words, "Finally Home." Perhaps you're familiar with them. It goes like this. When engulfed by the terror of the tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll. At the end of doubt and peril is eternity. Though fear and conflict seize your soul. Right? There is this hardship that we pass through. There's difficulty. There are storms that will cause us to realize our frailty. But just think of stepping on shore and finding it heaven. Of touching a hand and finding it God's. Of breathing new air and finding it celestial. Of waking up in glory and finding it home. Right? That's the message of hope, of life. That's the message of salvation. That's Christ came to redeem his people so that we can walk with him in heaven, that we can find the presence of God in intimacy, that we can enjoy what he is preparing for his people right now, and one day we'll call it home. second song. Of course, it's a disciple song. If you're not a disciple fan, you should be. It's entitled Bernie's Situation. It's an old song. Old for them, from the 90s. Bernie thought he was good. Bernie thought he was safe. He thought he was saved. Until his life was gone. It starts out like this. The candy looks so good to me, I just want to taste it. You think about Israel and Egypt and the desire to go back and all that, right? That it looks so good, I just want to taste it. It looks so good to me, I just want to break it. I want it to be mine. I never thought it would end up this way. Why didn't I know it would end up this way? And then you hear, come to me, Bernie. Run to me, Bernie. I never knew you. The Bible is true. Continues on. Where did everybody go? They were just here a minute ago. No, God, no, this cannot be. I repented at 3:15. See, he had religion. He had some works that he was trusting in. But the Lord never knew him. Bernie continues, I was misled. Hell burns so bad. Why did I lose the treasure I had? Please, one more chance. I won't do it anymore. There's no feeling here. I am so sore. And you think of the rich man and Lazarus. You think of the judgment that is ongoing in the rich man's life, not because he was rich, but because he rejected God. And he went his own way. He was enticed by the world. He found his hope and his desire in what this world had to offer. And in some way, Bernie's situation could also be titled, Finally Home. Because there are two resting places. One in the presence of God, knowing and understanding what we cannot fathom and comprehend, unbelievable blessing with the promise of peace and joy and well-being by the grace of God forever. And the other, place of judgment in hell. It's real. The Bible is true. There is blessing and there is judgment, and it's been hard going through Jeremiah because it's judgment after judgment after judgment after judgment, and then when that's all done, there's still a little more judgment. This is our 50th sermon in the book of Jeremiah. We've had a lot of judgment. But you know what? It speaks of God's faithfulness as well. He said Jerusalem would be destroyed, and guess what? Jerusalem was destroyed. How did he know that? Because he orchestrated it, and he destroyed it. He said, I'm going to do this to you. Why? So you know that I am the one who has authority. I am the one to be heeded. I'm the one to be obeyed. I'm the one to be worshipped. Put away your idols and surrender. And oh, the messages we had on surrender, just surrender to me, surrender to my ways. And you know what? If you're going to surrender to me, surrender to the Babylonians and you will live. That was the path that God had laid for them. And we see the king running in the night and his entourage with him, and they are captured and subjugated, many of them killed. Because they would not surrender. And that's at the heart of the human soul, is a rejection of God and a desire to go our own way. And there is only one hope and one help, and that is the grace of God, the mercy of God that desires that none should perish and all come to repentance. And we see that in Jeremiah. Don't keep going. Don't go this way. It will kill you. And they couldn't get there fast enough. and how that is so exemplified and worked out in these chapters here as we approach the end. And just a word of background. Babylonians came in, they captured, they burned, they sacked, they destroyed Jerusalem. Chapter 39. The Babylonians show uncharacteristic grace directed by God in leaving people there in the land, establishing Gedaliah, a man from a godly family, to be the governor. And people are beginning to stream back in as they were running for their life. And in the midst of all of that, one comes to undo what is established. And Gedaliah is murdered, and faithful individuals who are in the land are murdered along with it. And now fear strikes them that the Babylonians are going to come back and kill us. We got to do something. Even though God had said, stay there and be fruitful and enjoy what I provide, they are looking for plan B, and they find plan B. And plan B in Israel is always Egypt. They're our hope and our help. Let's go. And we saw last week that they intended in their heart to go to Egypt. That comes before the request of Jeremiah, pray to the Lord and see what we should do. Jeremiah does what they ask of him. He prays for the Lord to give mercy to them. In chapter 42, after 10 days, Jeremiah comes back and he says, if you remain in the land, I will build you up and not pull you down. I will plant you. I will not pluck you up, for I relent of the disaster that I did to you. Do not fear the king of Babylon, of whom you are afraid. Do not fear him, declares the Lord, for I am with you to save you and to deliver you from his hand. The Lord says, you stay here, and I will fight for you. I will deliver you, thus saith the Lord. How easy can it get? You remember what I told you before I read that verse? They intended in their heart to go to Egypt. And when you already have your mind made up, you don't care what input you receive. You're going to Egypt. And you're just wasting time, but really you are incurring more judgment upon you because you have greater revelation, a greater understanding of what God requires, and you defy him to his face. And with that, they head south and they leave the land that God has prepared for them. He gives them this promise. For thus says the Lord of hosts in chapter 42, verse 18. As my anger and my wrath were poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my wrath will be poured out on you when you go to Egypt. You shall become an execration, a horror, a curse, and a taunt. You shall see this place no more. The Lord has said to you, O remnant of Judah, do not go to Egypt. Know for a certainty that I have warned you this day. Is there anyone that didn't get the clear message? Do not go to Egypt. Right? You stay where you are. I will protect you. I will preserve you. I will be with you. I will protect you. You go to Egypt. My anger and my wrath will be poured out upon you. Do not go. In the warning, there is a plea of grace. Don't go. Don't do it to yourself. So you remember from last sermon, you need to fear yourself. And fear your desires. Fear the intentions of your heart, because they will lead you away from what God has called you to and where you need to have faith to walk. And I don't mean to make it so simplistic. It was hard to stay. The governor appointed by Babylon was dead. And they can come back with an angry vengeance, and they can show their displeasure through whatever they want to. And the Lord said, don't fear them, fear me. And stay. And they went. the last verse of chapter 42. Now therefore know for a certainty that you shall die by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence in the place where you desire to go and live. Remember, you wanted this. Remember, you asked for it. Remember, you dreamt about it. Remember, you have given everything to follow your heart, as the world says. Don't forget that, because the Lord is true to His word. He would be true to plant you and to build you up, to protect you and to preserve you, and He will be true to destroy you and to fight against you and to kill you. Chapter 43. When Jeremiah finished speaking to all the people the words of the Lord their God, with the Lord their God had sent him to them, Azariah the son of Hoshaiah and Johanan the son of Korea, and all the insolent men said to Jeremiah, "You are telling a lie. The Lord our God did not send you to say, 'Do not go to Egypt to live there.' But Baruch, the son of Neri, has sent you against us to deliver us into the hands of the Chaldeans, that they may kill us or take us into exile in Babylon." So Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the commanders of the forces and all the people did not obey the voice of the Lord to remain in the land of Judah. But Johanan, the son of Korea, and all the commanders of the forces took all the remnant of Judah who had returned to live in the land of Judah from the nations to which they had been driven, the men, the women, the children, the princesses, and every person whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, also Jeremiah the prophet, and Baruch the son of Neri, and they came into the land of Egypt, for they did not obey the voice of the Lord. Now those last two were not willfully participating in the journey south, but they were taken there, and we're going to see in the coming chapters here about the fugitives that came with them and the promise to preserve them and to bring some back. So don't look in a wrong way with Jeremiah and really with Baruch as well. They were taken to Egypt, and along the way they were maligned and derided because of their faith and their dependence upon God. But everything we have from this point forward to these people as they head south, you can be assured of one thing: death and destruction. The word of the Lord has said, "You shall not prosper, and you will die there, and you are doomed." To know these things, why? Because God is faithful to His word. As much as it is unpopular, and, you know, frankly, I would rather speak of the great blessings and the promises than I would of the death and the judgment. But you know what? You need to hear it, and I need to hear it. Because it's no small thing that we contend with when we go through this life following our own selves and the desires of our heart. It brings us back to the question, have we submitted ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He our Savior? Not do we pay lip service to Him. Not do we seek prayer. Not do we attend services and count ourselves to be in proximity with His Word and His prophet, and however you want to characterize it. These are very, very, very privileged people to have understood the word of the Lord and to have the path of peace put before them. It's the privilege of being an Israelite and having the commands of God and that relationship with God. With no other nation on the earth did He relate in such a way that there was peace and there was hope and there was grace available even at a very late date. When so much judgment had already come, you see the grace of the Lord pleading with them, don't you fall into that trap as well. sad, beyond sad. And it stands as a warning to everyone who will hear these words. Make sure your heart, your devotion, and your faith is rooted somewhere other than your desires and yourself. Chapter 43, verse 8. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He's now in Tamphanes in Egypt on the outskirts. Take in your hands large stones and hide them in the mortar and the pavement and at the entrance to Pharaoh's palace in Tamphanes in the sight of the men of Judah and say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will send and take Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and I will set his throne above these stones that I have hidden, and he will spread his royal canopy over them. He shall come and strike the land of Egypt, giving over to the pestilence those who are doomed to the pestilence, and to captivity those who are doomed to captivity, and to the sword those who are doomed to the sword. I shall kindle a fire in the temples of the gods of Egypt, and he shall burn them and carry them away captive. He shall clean the land of Egypt as a shepherd cleans his cloak of vermin, and he shall go away from there in peace. He shall break the obelisks of the Heliopolis, which is in the land of Egypt, and the temples of the gods of Egypt he shall burn with fire. There is no sanctuary for you in Egypt. There is no force, there is no power that is going to be able to sustain you, because I will continue to pursue you and I will be faithful to my word. And it's interesting, and we need to take note of who God uses. It's very encouraging. He is using Nebuchadnezzar. He is using a pagan, godless, bloodthirsty individual to do his bidding. And how does God characterize him? Verse 10, my servant. God is using this ruthless tyrant. And in this, he's showing his authority over the nations, not only in Israel, not only in Babylon, but in Egypt and beyond. And as we approach the end of the book of Jeremiah, you're going to see that God has full authority over all the nations. If you had any question or any doubt about that, God is going to call down judgment upon the surrounding nations because they are all living in sinful disobedience. The place that they went for peace, the place that they went that provided them hope, the place that they thought they would be able to maneuver their power was now under judgment from God. And what happened to Jerusalem and the dissolving of that capital city would now fall upon Egypt by the word of the Lord. And not only upon the political structure, but in the coming of this conqueror would be the dissolution of the gods of the area. Small g. Are you encouraged yet? God's faithful. He is faithful. He desires grace. He desires submission. He desires to bless his people, to build them up, to plant them. But his justice, his faithfulness, his truthfulness will be worked out in ways that are not embraced with delight, but will be received injustice. And so it stands before us here this morning to consider our relationship with the one who has all authority. And as it works into our lives, are there closets or corners that we cultivate these areas of darkness and sin thinking that no one sees and no one knows? Do we think ourselves to be one who will escape what is coming? That I've said a prayer one day, that I've walked an aisle, I got wet in a baptismal, I know I'm good. Bernie thought that. In his testimony in the song, "I was misled, hell burned so bad, why did I lose the treasure I had?" You never had the treasure because you didn't know the grace of God. And the grace of God didn't change you. And that's the place of peace, and that's the place of hope, and that's the place where we understand the transforming power of God, that by His grace we can have what ultimately we would desire, and that's peace and hope and a relationship with our Creator. God so desires that. So I took this morning to hold before us again the reality of God's faithfulness. Oh, it's filled with so much blessing. And it's filled with so much promise. But it's also very heavy. And for many, in fact, even through the words of Jesus, you can say through most, to most, it's going to hurt. For the road is wide that leads to destruction. But the road is narrow and few find it. Have you found it? That leads to life. It takes a surrender of your desire and an embrace of His grace, being led of God, being filled with His Spirit, to no longer pursue the desire of the flesh, but to walk in faithfulness and to walk in His truth. My fear is many will hear the word of the Lord, and just like those in Israel, walk away and do what you want to do, and go where you want to go, and pursue what you want to pursue. Pray that the Lord opens your eyes and He humbles your heart, and that you can see the error of your way by the grace of God and fall down and repent and confess and find the path where the promise is that you will be built up, that you will be planted, that He goes with you and He will preserve you. These are matters of eternity. Are you positioned on the narrow road for blessing? It takes discipline. It takes surrender. As Jesus said, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." And He meant it. Or are you gallivanting on the wide road? A little bit of the world, a lot of the world, a little bit of Jesus. As if Jesus was some lucky rabbit's foot you can put in your pocket, some trump card you can pull out at the last judgment. It doesn't work that way. God calls His people to live and surrender to Him and His authority. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we need the work of Your Spirit in us. How we need eyes of faith to see beyond our desires, to see beyond ourselves. So, Lord, that we can surrender and we can be led forward in truth. We think ourselves wise in the flesh and we are but fools. And as we walk in the Spirit in this world, the world says we are fools. And yet we are wise. Lord, the heart of what we are talking about is an individual one, so it meets us where we are. And the question before us is, how are we in relationship with God these days? Are we under the authority of His Lord, Jesus, the King of Kings? Are we under His work on the cross? Are we those who have received, Lord, His righteousness because of His death, because He took our sin and our punishment and He paid that debt? Are we free? If so, Father, I pray that You will help us to live focused lives, Lord, to live those lives that reflect that change that has been within us, that we will demonstrate that holiness and that godliness as we wait for our Savior to return. An urgent prayer for the church to be the church, to be the body of Christ, to reflect His love, His forgiveness, His grace, His mercy. Help us in that, Father. And Lord, for those who are still following their own desires or have concocted some scheme by which they feel themselves to have some part in Your kingdom. And Lord, it is built on a lie. It is built on deception. Lord, I pray that You would bring conviction. I pray that You would humble them before Your truth. Lord, that You would remove that which they are trusting in and help them to fall hard and to fall into Your arms, to know of Your love and Your grace, to know of Your forgiveness, to know of the power of the blood of Christ that has paid the penalty for those who are Yours, to redeem them from sin and death and destruction, and to set them with You in Your presence forever. Oh, Father, each one of us in here this morning, now this afternoon, has work to do. Either to reflect more clearly or to repent. Through Your Spirit, lead forward in this time. And may You be praised in blessing and in judgment. In faithfulness that leads to life, and faithfulness that will consign individuals to judgment. Help us, Lord. But we cannot do it without You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.